Welcome to my podcast. If you haven't been here before, my name is Judy Fitzgerald, and I am a 10-year breast cancer survivor. I am not a medical professional, nor do I claim to be providing any medical advice. The purpose of my podcast is to provide education and support for women who are facing the horrible disease of breast cancer. I presently serve as one of three consumer advocates on the Cleveland Clinic's breast cancer vaccine clinical trial to begin soon in 2021. Please help me by subscribing to my channel and visiting my website at www.sistersforprevention.com. There you can read about our latest progress with the vaccine research, as well as obtain tips for lifestyle and diet changes to help prevent the recurrence of breast cancer. Thank you for visiting my channel and for your support. Today's topic for our podcast is how to interpret your staging of your cancer. This is normally done in the post-surgical phase when your tumor has been analyzed and the genetic testing has been complete. In some cases, the lymph nodes, auxiliary lymph nodes under your arm, can be evaluated before surgery and suspicious of having cancer. But the final evaluation would be done after the surgery. What exactly are the criteria for cancer staging? In breast cancer, the stage is based on several factors. One is the size and location of the primary tumor. The second is if the cancer has spread to nearby lymph nodes or other parts of the body. The grade of the tumor, which we will explain as well in this podcast, and whether certain biomarkers are present. For the best plan of your treatment and to understand your prognosis, it's important to review the breast cancer staging groups and understand what that means for your diagnosis. So staging can be done in three different ways. One is referred to as the clinical prognostic stage. This is used to first assign the stage for all patients based on their health history, the physical exam, and imaging and biopsies. The clinical prognostic stage is described by a system known as TNM, which is tumor grade and biomarker status. The biomarker status is the estrogen, progesterone, and HER2 markers. In clinical staging, mammography or ultrasound is used to check the lymph nodes for signs of cancer. When it is done by pathological prognostic stage, this is patients who have surgery as their first treatment. The pathological prognostic stage is based on all clinical data, biomarker status, and laboratory test results from breast tissue and lymph nodes that were removed during surgery. The anatomic stage is based on the size and spread of the cancer as described by the TNM system. The anatomic stage is used in parts of the world where biomarker testing is not available. This is not used in the United States. So that's a little bit more detail than you really need to worry about. Quite simply, when you receive your breast cancer diagnosis, the main thing that you will need to focus on is your staging as described by the TNM system. The TNM system, which is Thomas, Nancy, Martha, is used to describe the size of the primary tumor and the spread of the cancer to nearby lymph nodes or other parts of the body. This is the most important thing for you to be able to understand, since this will give you a good idea of how aggressive your cancer is and the best way forward. If T is zero, there's no sign of a primary tumor in the breast. CIS refers to carcinoma in situ, which we've talked about in previous pods. DCIS is a condition in which the abnormal cells are found in the lining of the breast duct. They have not spread outside the duct to the other breast tissue. In some cases, DCIS may become invasive and become cancer that is able to spread to other tissues. In other DCIS, the cancer does not spread. And at the present time, there is no way of knowing which of these lesions, these DCIS areas, can become invasive. So that is why there is much controversy about calling DCIS stage zero cancer, because it is cancer and it should not be left in the breast, even though it is not a threat to the patient at present. There's another type of TIS staging known as Paget's disease. Paget's disease of the nipple is a condition in which the abnormal cells are found in the skin cells of the nipple and may spread to the areola. This is not staged according to the TNM system. If Paget disease and an invasive cancer are present, then the TNM system is used to stage the invasive breast cancer. So again, Paget's disease is a condition where abnormal cells are in the skin of the nipple. So it's an exterior cancer. It shows up on the skin of the nipple on the breast. With a T1, the tumor is 20 millimeters or smaller. There are four types of T1 tumor, depending on the size of the tumor. T1 MI, the tumor is 1 millimeter or smaller. T1A, the tumor is larger than 1 millimeter, but not larger than 5 millimeters. T1B, the tumor is larger than 5 millimeters, but not larger than 10 millimeters. And T1C, the tumor is larger than 10 millimeters, but not larger than 20 millimeters. The next stage is T2. The tumor is larger than 20 millimeters, but not larger than 50 millimeters. In T3, the tumor is larger than 50 millimeters. And in T4, the tumor is described as one of the following. T4A, the tumor has actually grown into the chest wall. In T4B, the tumor has grown into the skin, and there is swelling on the skin of the breast. T4C, the tumor has grown into the chest wall and the skin. And in T4D, inflammatory breast cancer, 1/3 or more of the skin on the breast is affected by the cancer. That is why if you look at the warning signs for breast cancer, they talk about your skin sort of looking like an orange peel, where it's sort of like little indentations going around. And that is when, obviously, any changes, physical changes in the breast must also always be reported to your gynecologist. So basically, the T is related to the tumor size. And obviously, the larger the tumor size, the higher the T classification. And in most cases, the more serious the diagnosis. The N number corresponds to the number of lymph nodes that were involved and that were found to contain cancer cells. In the NX classification, the lymph nodes cannot be assessed. I'm really not sure where that would be the case, but perhaps it might be when there's a recurrence and the lymph nodes had already been removed. and are not available for testing. N0, obviously, is the best one can hope for in this classification because it means there's no sign of cancer in the lymph nodes. Or perhaps there were just tiny clusters of cancer cells, which were not larger than 0.2 millimeters. N1 minor, the cancer has spread to the armpit area lymph nodes and is larger than 0.2 millimeters, but not larger than 2 millimeters. N1A, the cancer has spread from 1 to 3 lymph nodes, and the cancer in at least one of the lymph nodes is larger than 2 millimeters. N1B, cancer has spread to lymph nodes near the breastbone on the same side of the body as the primary tumor, and the cancer is larger than 0.2 millimeters and is also found by the sentinel node biopsy. But cancer is not found in the arm lymph nodes. So there are lymph nodes up near your breastbone, which if you actually, it's one of the places where they check you when you go in for follow-up checkups. If you put your fingers at the bottom of your neck and bring your shoulders up and press down, there's going to be forming 2 indentations. And there are lymph nodes there. If your lymph nodes there are enlarged, then that is what is classified as 9-1-B. Because this can imply that your lymph nodes near your breastbone are affected by the cancer. The axillary lymph nodes are the lymph nodes under your arms. So it's 2 areas that can be an issue and that are always checked when you go for follow-up checkup. You will notice when you go for follow-up checkup after your surgery, they check the lymph nodes under your neck, in this area where the breastbone is, under your arms, and they also will palpitate going around, if you've had implants put in, around the area where the encircling the implants. So in stage N2, N2A, cancer has spread from 4 to 9 axillary lymph nodes, and the cancer in at least one of those lymph nodes is larger than 2 millimeters. So these are the lymph nodes under your arm. In stage 2B, N2B, cancer has spread to lymph nodes near the breastbone that we talked about a minute ago. And cancer has also been found by imaging tests. Cancer is not found in the arm or axillary lymph nodes by the sentinel biopsy or lymph node dissection. So this is where the cancer has spread from the breastbone and is found in other areas, possibly by CAT scan, PET scan, or MRI. And in N3, 3A, cancer has spread to 10 or more axillary or arm nodes, and the cancer in at least one of the nodes is larger than 2 millimeters, or cancer has spread to the lymph nodes below the collarbone. In N3B, cancer has spread from 1 to 9 axillary or arm nodes, and the cancer is at least one of the lymph nodes measures larger than 2 millimeters. In this case, cancer is also found to have spread to the lymph nodes near the breastbone and has been found by imaging tests. This sounds like a lot of information. One more stage, N3C. Cancer has spread to lymph nodes above the collarbone on the same side of the body as the primary tumor. When the lymph nodes are checked using mammography or ultrasound, it is called clinical staging. clinical staging of lymph nodes has not been described here. And then we go to the category that no one wants to go above zero, and that's the M category, which is the metastasis classification. Metastasis means that the cancer has spread to other parts of the body. M0 means there is no sign of cancer in other parts of the body. And in M1, cancer has spread to other parts of the body. Unfortunately, in the case of breast cancer, most often the cancer spreads to the bones, lung, liver, or brain. And it can also be when distant lymph nodes have shown evidence of cancer that is larger than 0.2 millimeters. The patient at this point is then referred to as to have metastatic disease. So, to recap, I know this is a lot of information. Basically, in the TNM system, the hope when you are receiving your diagnosis is that you receive a classification of T0, which means no tumor in the breast, or stage 0 cancer, which would be DCIS or LCIS. If you have some evidence in your mammogram of carcinoma in situ, then you would have a TIS. What you don't want to do is to let that TCIS become a T1. And in the case of lymph node involvement, obviously an N0 is optimal where there is no lymph node involvement or less than 0.2 millimeters. And in the case, obviously, of M, the ideal thing is M0, which means the cancer is solely contained to the breast or the lymph nodes in the area of the breast and is not spread to any parts of the body. Are you ready to talk about grading? We've done a lot of information here. So the grading system is a way to, in layman's terms, describe how aggressive the cancer is and how likely it is to grow and spread. The grading system describes the tumor based on how abnormal the cancer cells and tissue look under the microscope and how quickly the cells are dividing and growing. I talked about this in my last podcast. Low-grade cancer cells look more like normal cells and tend to grow and spread more slowly than high-grade cancer cells. We talked about this in my last podcast as the term differentiation. I described it as when I use the analogy of the yolk and white of the egg. When your cancer cells are highly differentiated, they look very different than cancer cells, but not normal. It means that the egg yolk or the nucleus is still pretty well defined, which means the cancer is slow growing at that point. When they are poorly differentiated, the yolk then has broken out of its membrane and is into the white of the egg and now is protruding its fingers and into the cell itself, and the cell no longer looks normal. So to assess the grading, the pathologist looks at three different features. How much of the tumor has normal breast ducts, which means the cells look normal. The size and shape of the nuclei in the tumor cells, which I just described to you as the yolk of the egg. And how many dividing cells are present, which is a measure of how fast the tumor cells are growing and dividing. So for each of these three criteria, The pathologist will assign a score of 1 to 3. A score of 1 means that the cells in tumor tissue look mostly like normal cells. A score of 3 means the cell and tissue look most abnormal. The scores for each feature are added together to get a total score between 3 and 9. So 3 grades are possible. If you have a score from 3 to 5, it is grade 1, low grade or well differentiated, meaning that most of the cells were pretty well behaved and they look very different from the cancer cells. A score from 6 to 9, or G2, means the cells are moderately differentiated. It means the cells are dividing at a higher rate. The tumor is a little bit more aggressive, but some of the cells are still maintaining the appearance of normal cells. And a score of 8 to 9, or G3, means that all of the cells in the diagnostic area were very poorly differentiated. Their cells were not anywhere close to looking like normal cells, and they were all very aggressive looking in the way they were behaving. And this is a sign of a fairly fast-growing and aggressive cancer. So the biomarker testing refers to whether the breast cells have certain receptors. So healthy breast cells and some cancer cells have receptors that attach to the hormones estrogen and progesterone. These are needed for healthy cells, but also can make breast cancer cells more aggressive and want to divide more than they should and grow more than they should. So these would be the ER and PR negative and positive classifications. If you can think of a wheel that looks like a cog, the little indentations are where the estrogen or progesterone would attach to the cell. If when these elements attach to the cell, it gives the cell the signal to grow and divide when it shouldn't be, then the tumor is classified as estrogen or progesterone sensitive. What it means is that instead of just having the cell go through its normal cell activity and eventually stop growing, these cancer cells basically are fueled, like putting fuel on the fire, by receiving estrogen and progesterone. Now, there's a lot of talk on my website and my blog about how we're being bombarded by estrogen in our food source, our food supply, which was not the case 50 or so years ago because of what they're feeding the animals that we eat and also because of the pesticides that are being sprayed. But we're also receiving these hormones in our cosmetic line, and there's a lot more to be said about that. And if you go to my website, there is information about how to avoid these. They're called xenoestrogens, how to avoid these in your diet and in your cosmetic use. The other type of biomarker that's very important is the HER2, and that is short for the human epidermal growth factor 2. And if you are HER2 receptor positive, these are normally more aggressive cancers. Thank goodness to the development of Herceptin, which was about 10 years ago. The phase four trial was just about finishing when I was diagnosed because my sister-in-law received Herceptin as part of the phase four trial. Thank goodness for that, because these cancers normally in the past did not have very good outcomes. Now there's another type of cancer which is extremely aggressive, unfortunately, and has a very, let's just say, a less fortunate statistical survivor rate, and this is triple negative breast cancer. These breast cancers, unfortunately, do not respond to adjuvant therapy, such as hormone blockers. So the only treatment for these cancers is mastectomy and very aggressive chemotherapy. Statistically, these cancers will reoccur. 85% of these cancers will recur, within the first 5 years. This particular group is the group that will be studied in the clinical trial, phase one clinical trial in 2021 of Dr. Tui from the Cleveland Clinic's breast cancer vaccine, where we will test 40 women using this vaccine to see if the cancer can be prevented from recurrence. The basis for the breast cancer vaccine is that it targets a protein called alpha-lactalbumin, and this protein is often extremely expressed by triple-negative breast cancer. So, wow, we've talked a lot today about the staging. It's a lot to digest. You probably want to do your own research. What I have used as my reference are materials from the National Cancer Institute. And I also want to say, again, which I've said in my other podcast, statistics are just that, just statistics. Again, I use the example. If your tumor grading and evaluation and biomarker evaluation, let's say, for just example, which I've used before, statistically, you have the likelihood of survival of only 5%. Well, who knows if you're going to be the one in that 5%? So never give up hope. There are new therapies every day, and this breast cancer vaccine is going to be a game changer. So never give up hope. But in the same context, do everything that you can by using not only conventional medicine, but also do your own research. There's so little guidance giving to breast cancer survivors about diet and lifestyle, about supplements and exercise. Exercise, of course, everyone accepts that we should all be doing to be healthy. Do all that you can for yourself, but never give up hope, because, you know, again, going back to one of my favorite books, I'm Alive and the Doctor's Dead, where a very poor prognosis was given, and the person is still alive, and the doctor who told her that is now deceased. Again, I thank you for spending this time with me. I hope you have found this to be helpful. I know this is a large amount of material to digest, but go back and fast forward and review and rewind. Please, again, subscribe to my channel so that I can help as many people as possible. And visit my website, www.sistersforprevention.com, where, again, you can find the latest information on the breast cancer vaccine, as well as information on the upcoming clinical trial. And if you have it in your heart, or if you have a desire, you may also donate to continue the work of researchers Little is known that PhD researchers don't often receive financial assistance from conventional sources and rely on philanthropic donations to keep their lab going. So there's a link there where you can help with that as well. So in the meanwhile, stay safe, be careful out there, stay well, and may God bless. Till the next time.